want to welcome you to the radio ministry of Church of the Promise in Iway, Louisiana, with Pastors Dwayne and Cindy Daigle. We're a non-denominational Bible teaching ministry with a passion to help God's people find their place in the kingdom of God. We want you to know that your life counts and that God wants to give you a hope and a future. We trust that you'll be both blessed and challenged by today's message. Here is Pastor Daigle.
The title of this message is Live Long and Prosper. We pray this is a blessing to your life.
This is an interesting tidbit. What we're really talking about today is the fact that Jesus told his disciples to both honor their parents, but also told them to teach people about honoring their parents. Why? Because it literally is the backbone of a society. And can I tell you, America's back is broken. And it's sad, and it's unfortunate, but that's where it started. Okay? Anytime we don't honor the things that God says to honor, we're actually told to honor his law. But even the church has dishonored God's law. So within the law, we're told to honor our parents. And then Jesus reestablished that into the hearts of the people. But an interesting tidbit here, that sign, the Vulcan sign that means live long and prosper, that salute is based upon a blessing gesture that was actually used by the Jewish priest during the worship service. So a lot of people don't know that. Well, see, Leonard Nimoy grew up Jewish. And so he's the one that actually came up with that as the Spock character. This was not something that the writers wrote in. Leonard Nimoy is the one that actually suggested that this become the sign for Spock. Live long and prosper. Why? Because of his Jewish upbringing. He drew from that because this was a sign that was used in synagogues as he was growing up. And so why are we naming this live long and prosper? And what does it have to do with the commandment to honor parents? Well, again, what we're really talking about in general is living in honor. And I want to tell you, honor is something that is very sparse today, true honor. And so we can't earn our salvation by trying to live honorably. We also understand can never be honorable enough to earn salvation in any way, shape, or form. That's why we need Jesus. But Jesus did teach us how to honor, and Jesus was a perfect example of all of those things. And so learning to honor has to start when we're just a little bitty rugrat. And so I'm going to give you several scriptures here because this is actually reiterated several times in the scripture. But in Matthew chapter 15, verse 4, Jesus is talking, and he said these words, "For God commanded, honor your father and mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die." So, you know, that seems, especially in our culture today, that's radical. That what, you dishonored your mother and your father, so now you got to die? That's hard to even imagine that anybody would ever think that way. But he got that from Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. So this is one of those commands that Jesus gave to his disciples that was also one of the original Ten Commandments. And so in Exodus 20, 12, it says, "Honor your father and your mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." And then in Exodus chapter 21, verse 17, it says, "Whoever curses his father or his mother shall be put to death." And then in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15, it says, "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." All right? So again, so what does that have to do with it? Because the point is that all of the commandments tie together. And if you think that even going to church on Sunday, even if you're very faithful with it, if you think that that is all you need to do, but yet you don't honor authority, there's a problem. If you don't honor your father and mother, because that's where it starts, there's a problem. So there was a time in American life when we thought that we could trust the major social institutions, but how many of you know those times are gone? Right? There's very little trust in major social institutions. And at one time, there was a lot of confidence in the federal government. I mean, people were so patriotic. I mean, it was just, you know, proud to be an American kind of thing, right? There was all of that. But slowly and surely, many politicians have thumbed their nose at Christianity and the Bible. And understand, although there are some who do still seek the counsel of God, they're very few. Right? They don't seek his counsel for their decisions. They let money do the talking. You know, some kind of peer pressure of some kind. So there's a great many more politicians who have closed the lid on their moral compass, and they run headlong into corruption and greed. And I mean, think about it. We've never been in a time that I'm aware of where there's so much corruption and greed in the political arena. But I'm telling you, it's full of it. And so no wonder a lot of people don't vote, right? Because to be honest with you, I've heard people say, you know, it doesn't matter who you vote for. It just doesn't matter. Because why do they say that? Because they don't trust those who run the system. And so now I personally believe that we need to do the right thing no matter what. And I believe if you're a Christian and you care anything about this country at all, you need to vote. Okay. I believe that with all my heart. Unfortunately, only 50% of the people who claim to be Christians are even registered to vote, and 25% actually vote. So half of the ones who are registered don't even vote, right? Well, why is that? Well, because there's so much mistrust. And so, but I want to tell you, and this is not a message about politics, but I want to tell you that Christians cannot sit back and just think that everything's going to get better. It's not going to. We do have to do our part. And I don't know that we can save this country, but we can prolong it a little bit. So there was a time, and this is sad, there was a time when we thought we could trust church leadership, when we thought that the church, you know, that the church had integrity and, you know, really did operate through the love of God. But yet over and over again, I mean, we've seen all the scandals one after another, after another, after another. You know where that starts? It starts with not honoring. And that starts with little bitty kids with their parents, right? So we have way too many church leaders who have abandoned their moral post, the principles of God's word. And so again, there's very little faith in the church anymore. And that's why those who attend church, that has gone down so much over the years, because people just simply don't trust. That's why we need to have something real. And you know what? People don't just need to see something real in a pastor. They need to see it in the people who claim to be Christian. So we've seen public confidence in religious institutions steadily decline since the 1960s. That generation of people born between 1946 and 1964, we call the baby boomers. And they became more distrustful and suspicious of institutions than any previous generation in American history. And this has led to an overall decline in honor and respect in our culture altogether. This overall decline in honor and respect has led to a culture that thrives in put down sarcasms and one-ups. You know, Pastor Cindy and I, we like watching documentaries, and we found a particular guy that puts out these videos, and he visits various cultures, he goes to various cities, and he just goes into their culture, and it's incredible, because, I mean, he even goes into the gang cultures and all that kinds of stuff, just to learn about him. He listens to them, and they talk to him, and so on. And you can see where people are from, but you can hear there's this distrust, and they talk about, it's all about respect. You know, it's all about respect, but yet they don't respect. And so people want respect, but they don't want to give respect, right? They want honor, but they don't want to give honor. And so I find it fascinating as this guy goes through these various cities and especially going into the inner cities, the larger cities, you know, Los Angeles and New York and those inner cities and seeing how the people live. And I want to tell you, it's heartbreaking. And we were watching, there was a young man he was interviewing, and this young man was so proud that he actually knew who his daddy was. I mean, I'm okay. I know who my daddy is. I know him. I mean, I met him and he was at my mama's funeral. I met him. I haven't seen him in 3 years, but I know who he is. So he was feeling like he was somebody special because he knew who his daddy was, because most of the people had no idea. So I'm not saying that to talk down about anybody. I'm saying that that happens because we have no honor in our society. And it starts with parents teaching it to their children when they're little, when they're just little bitty. And God tried to establish that in the hearts of his people early on. Why? Because he knew that if there is no honor taught to children and they're not taught to honor their parents, they're not going to honor anyone else. Understand, parents, if you have small children or grandchildren even, or, you know, if you have children in your life that you have influence over, teach them to honor. Teach them to honor authority, to honor their parents. Our culture is a lot more like the Simpsons than anything else. So the most significant decline in respect has occurred in the family. Today we're going to look at Christ, this New Testament command that he gave his disciples. And this was actually number 5 of the 10 commandments. It's the commandment about honoring our parents. And as we examine these, there's 3 questions that we're going to look at. We're only going to be able to get to at least part of the first one today. But 3 questions. What does it mean to honor our parents? Are there any limitations to parental honor? And why does God think parental honor is so important? What difference does it actually make? So number 1, what does it mean to honor our parents? Well, you might remember that the 10 commandments divide into 3 groupings. Now, we find it to be so important that it's actually, you know, rolling on our announcement screen, you know, because when I taught on this, I had so many people let me know, I'm really glad you taught on it because I didn't even know the 10 commandments. I mean, you might could pick 1 or 2 out, but for the most part, people don't know them. And so the first 3 commands actually deal with our love for God. And so the next one deals with God and the church, and then the last 5 deal with our love for people. So the first 3 deal with our love for God. Anybody know what they are? Have no other gods before me, right? Don't bow to idols. That's the short version. And then the 3rd one, don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. So that all has to do with your relationship, honoring and respecting God. And then there's the 4th commandment about remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. And that has to do with our relationship with both God and people. I say it's the cross-centered life. See, you know, everything's fine when it's just you and God, but it becomes like a cross when you have to deal with people, right? It's the cross-centered life. God said, love God, love people. And all the commandments, really, that's what Jesus said. That's what sums them up, love God and love people. Well, the 3rd commandment is the hinging point, the equal sign between the 2, and it is the cross-centered life. So then the last 5 commandments deal with our love for other people, given very specific, tangible ways for us as followers of Jesus to show God's love to others. And so the 5th commandment shows us how to love others, how our love for others works in a parent-child relationship. And I want you to understand that in the context of this commandment, just like all the other 9 commandments, God was addressing adults. How many of you know when God gave the 10 commandments, he wasn't giving 9 of them to the adults and 1 for the kids, right? He's talking to adults. And so why is he telling this to the adults? Because he wants them to understand it is vitally important for them to not only show honor to their parents, even as they're older, but to make sure you teach your kids to honor their parents, which would be you. But we live in a culture today where the kids run the house. Whatever the kid wants is what they get. The kids direct. The kids tell the parents what they want, and then the parents have to do that because they feel like they're not a good parent if they don't give their kid everything they want. Well, what they don't understand is they're actually ruining that kid, right? You're going to cause that kid to be a narcissistic, selfish human being. Why? Because we were designed as parents, train up a child in the way they should go. right? That's the way God designed it to be. So that doesn't mean that you don't bless your kid. It doesn't mean that you don't ever let them make decisions and so on and so forth. But all of that comes as reward as they honor and respect and reverence their parents. That's the way God designed it. And so we have whole generations now, not just a generation, generations now who really don't have a grasp on honor and respect. And it reflects all across this nation. Obviously, it applies to children of any age, but the context is really talking to adults here. And so we're going to actually talk about that, of how does this apply at different ages. And so in the context of the nation of Israel, the way God's special covenant relationship with Israel was passed on from generation to generation was how? Through the family. The family taught, this is how you honor. You honor me, and by honoring me, you're honoring God. How many of you know it's impossible to dishonor your parents and honor God at the same time? Now, some of you may be in here, you're like, man, you didn't know my parents. You know, I mean, maybe you had horrible parents. I don't know. Maybe you had great parents. I don't know. But it doesn't matter. God didn't say honor them if they're really good. He said honor them, right? And so we'll get more into that a little bit later. So it was the responsibility, though, of the parents to teach their kids about who God was and what it meant to follow God. You know, even Adam and Eve, when God gave them the commission to be fruitful and to multiply and fill the earth, right? His intention was not just for them to go make babies and plant gardens. His intention was to teach your children so that they can teach their children, so that they can teach their children how to make the knowledge of the glory of the Lord known. And so if the parents failed in this task, then the children wouldn't honor Israel's special covenant relationship with God, and life in the promised land was not going to be good. So there is a Hebrew word for honor. It's translated as honor. It is the word kabod. And it's an interesting word. It literally means to make heavy or weighty, to make heavy or weighty. What's it really talking about? The word picture is this: weight them down with honor and respect. Weight them down with honor and respect. And by the way, the opposite of that would be to take someone lightly by withholding honor and respect. So children should be weighting their parents down. Now, here's the problem we have. Parents many times feel like somehow to make my child honor me just seems selfish. But understand, parent, it ain't about you. It's about them. Because if you can teach them to honor you, the Bible promises, God promises that they'll have a long, prosperous life. They will live long and prosper, right? That's what the Bible says. The opposite of that is if you don't teach them that, then they're going to be a mess in life. And by the way, parents, if we don't teach them, somebody will. If they don't respect you, somebody's going to force them to respect them. And it may be behind bars. So in the New Testament, that word honor in the Greek is tamao, and it means to value or to revere. So notice that this command applies equally to both the dad and the mom. And I'm laying foundation today. So Leviticus chapter 19, verses 3 restates this command, but the mom is actually named before the dad. So in Leviticus 19:3, every one of you shall revere his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. And so, by the way, parents, one way to teach your children to honor you is by you demonstrating honoring God your father, and by honoring your parents as well on this earth. Also realize that a parent isn't necessarily the person, only the person that gives you your DNA, your biological parent. For some people, maybe your parent is someone who fathered you or mothered you, and they should be honored, whether it's physically or spiritually. There should be an honor there, because when you honor them, you're honoring God, okay? So here's the thing. Some of you, maybe the DNA donor or the biological parent, you may or may not even know them. For some of you, you may know them and maybe they were a terrible parent. But again, God didn't say only honor them if they're good. Pastor Cindy used an example. You know, one of the missionaries that we support down in Guatemala, They have Mike and Dottie Clark. They have huge, they don't like to call it an orphanage, but most people would think of it as an orphanage. But they actually take these kids in and they adopt these kids. I mean, it's amazing. You know, 600 kids and they all calling them mom and dad, you know. It's an amazing thing. We've been supporting them for many years. But to hear some of their stories, that they've got to teach a child to honor a father who tried to kill him with a machete. I mean, to think about that. See, in our culture, the idea is, well, I'll do good to them if they do good to me. But that's how a culture breaks down. But if people are taught to honor, so look, if there's nothing else, we had a friend tell us this one time. He really had a, he struggled with his father and the abuse and so on and so forth and leaving him and so on. But he said, God dealt with him one day and he said, you know, just honor the fact that he let you live. Honor the fact that you're here. If you can't find any other reason to honor other than God said so, honor the fact that, you know, you didn't get aborted. You're here. You're alive. You're breathing. You can find some reason to honor. Why? Because if you don't honor your parents, you're not going to teach your children to honor you either. It's just a terrible, it's a terrible chain reaction that happens. And then it affects all of society. So this command to honor people who parent us is coupled with a promise that those who do will live long and prosper. They'll live long. They'll have a good life. And so this is a principle that when each generation honors their parents, this creates and maintains a social climate that enhances the possibility of a good and long life for people. You know, when we were in Bible college, we experienced something that was just so different. We worked in a Korean church. And I want to tell you, you know, there are some cultures where honor is held in high esteem, and that is one. I mean, they just were so, just so honorable. The children were so respectful. Like when we went in there, because we were working with the kids, and we go in there, and we're not used to kids being that respectful. But they'd actually sit there, quiet, listen, very, very respectful. I think we got some music coming through the thing, it sounds like, coming from somewhere. But I want you to know we learned something there, that it's there is honor that is that pervades that culture. And as a result of that, let me tell you, success goes along with it. Very few of them, it is expected, very few of them have any have children that don't go and become, you know, doctors, lawyers, at the very least, business owners. They all are very, very successful. But it starts with the foundation of honor that is just part of their culture. And in America, we've lost that. So the original context of the fifth commandment, again, is being addressed to adults. And of course, it has something to do with how they treat their aging parents. But in the New Testament, it also specifically talks about children here. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. And then he goes on to say, this is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. So again, Paul is reiterating this, that if you will honor, if you'll do that one thing, honor your father and mother. There's a promise that things will go well with you and you'll live long. Now, back in that day, in the Old Testament day, when they said that, it was literal. If you honor them, you get to live, because if you don't, they're going to kill you, right? And so that was a very literal thing. But children here are told to obey their parents. And this word obey carries the idea of an action and an attitude. How many of you know that you can do something because you were told to do it, but you can do it with a bad attitude? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody in here have kids, right? You can do something because you were told to, but you can do it with a bad attitude, right? Well, that's not honoring. And so if you'll do that with your parents, and parents, if you'll allow your children to do that, okay, I'll obey, but I'm going to have a bad attitude while I'm doing it, then don't expect them to have a good attitude on the job or anywhere else they go. So God's dealing with this whole thing. This is like, I said it's a foundational thing for any society. When this is lost, society is going to go down the drain. And so we can't wait for parents to get what we think to be honorable. We choose to honor. And we change society by doing it God's way. So this word focuses on the action and the obedience of children, that which their parent tells them to do. Now, I'm not telling children that they should do illegal things that their parent tells them to do or anything like that. But by and large, although you have some parents that do those things, by and large, most parents aren't going to do that. So I think about this idea of obeying and having the right attitude. If your child, you know, sometimes we have our little grandchild with us, who is a pretty strong-willed kid. If you know him, you know what I'm talking about. And so it's not just do it, but if there's that scowling face or there's throwing a fit or whatever, you better deal with that, right? If you don't deal with that, if you don't want to break their spirit, but you do want to break their will, right? And if you don't deal with the attitude, there will be more action to follow. And it's like, I remember Brother Holton telling a story about the little boy in church, and he kept standing up, and his daddy kept telling him, "Boy, sit down. Boy, you need to sit down." I said, "Sit down." And the little boy wouldn't listen, so the daddy took him, and he swatted him, and he sat him down. And the little boy looked at him with an ugly face. He said, "Well, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside," right? Well, you know, that's just part of that rebellious nature we have. And you will see that reflected in their relationship with God, reflected on their job. It'll be reflected everywhere. And so to obey here, when Paul's telling them to obey, is not just to do what your parents said, but to listen to what they say attentively, to honor what they're saying. And now, when you tell a child to do something, what's the usual response many times? Why? Why? Now, that can be used as a way for them to learn. And sometimes they just need to be told because I said so. I hear people say, "You should never say that to a kid." No, sometimes you have to, right? Because they need to learn, because you don't always have time to explain, right? So sometimes it is because I said so. And then there are other times when there's an opportunity, when they ask the why, there's an opportunity for you to teach them something. Now, I give an example I've used many times over the years. Years ago, I was at a friend's house, and his daddy was working underneath their car, and he had the car up on jacks, and we were all playing around outside, and the youngest son crawled up underneath the car with his daddy, and I heard the daddy holler, "Get out of here." And he said, "Why?" He said, "Get out of here, get out of here." And he's hollering at him, and the little boy's like, "Why? I didn't do nothing wrong." And before he could get that out of his mouth, his daddy kicked him square. I mean, he didn't have any choice. He kicked him right in his face, and kicked him so hard, he kicked him out from underneath the car. Well, first moment, that seems like a horrible, horrible thing. But the next moment proved the problem. He immediately rolled out from under that car as it fell off the jacks. Sometimes you don't have time to explain, right? Sometimes it is, you're just going to have to trust me, right? You just, because I said so. And then other times you can explain. Well, Paul anticipated the why. And so Paul gives several reasons why kids need to obey their parents. One reason is that from that phrase, "in the Lord." Because obedience to parents isn't just because the parents are bigger than kids. It's because obedience to parents is part of the child's devotion to Jesus Christ. And ultimately, as a parent, that's what we really want to be teaching our children. You can make them behave by forcing them to do something, but if you can deal with the heart, if you can get them to want to do it. See, it was one of the things back when I was working in the plants, I was working safety, and I got involved in this called behavior-based safety program. And what I found out is I had to begin to appeal to the hearts of these men and women out there. That it wasn't just about safety rules. That it was about loving your family, loving your wife, loving your kids, loving your fellow man, thinking about their family and their wives and their kids, and really approaching it from that. Because if you can get a person to do the right thing because they want to do the right thing, because they see the benefits and the reason for it, well, then that's wonderful. That's what we need to do. And we teach our kids the same way. So it's not just, "You're going to honor me, kid." No, it's teaching them that when you honor your parents, you're also honoring God, right? Do you want to honor God? And if you've taught them to have a relationship with the Lord, then that is going to be something that they want. Okay, so this is, again, obedient to the parent because of Jesus. Another reason is simply because it's right to obey parents. So this is one thing that the entire ancient world of that day agreed on. It didn't matter if they were Roman or Jewish or Christian. They all agreed that it was right for children to honor and respect their parents. So the social consensus of their day said, you know, this is how it is. Children honor and obey their parents. So another reason is because that kind of obedience is biblical. And this is where Paul quotes the fifth commandment. So finally, Paul says that it's to a child's best interest to obey mom and dad, that there's a promise connected to obeying that commandment. So we see from both instances of this commandment that it applies both to adults and to children. And again, we're going to get into that. How does it apply at the different age groups, so on and so forth? Because obviously when you're a grown-up, when you're out of their house, not dependent on them, then they don't tell you what to do. It becomes more of an advisory type of thing. And you're stupid if you just throw that away, right? But as long as you're in their house and they're paying the bills and so on and so forth, it's just yes, sir, yes, ma'am. Amen. Some of y'all parents ought to be agreeing with me a little more. So what does it mean to honor our parents? Here's kind of in a nutshell. We honor our parents by respecting the role that God has given them in our lives. God chose my parents. I didn't choose them. He must have knew what he was doing. God chose them, right? And so because God chose them, I'm going to honor God's choice. Every time we see a belly button in the mirror, it ought to remind us that I didn't get here by myself. Amen? We honor our parents because it honors God to honor our parents. It's respecting God's role that he's given them in our lives. Now, I'll tell you, there are other things that I honestly would rather be preaching today. I'd love to be talking about the fire of the Holy Ghost and that kind of stuff. I mean, that would be awesome. And all of those things are important. But I want to tell you, our society is crumbling because the church has lost this. The church has lost it. And so the church needs to be taught this. And I'm talking to adults, mainly adults in here, so that you can teach your children and maybe your children's children, help them along with this, that it's not okay to dishonor your parents. Because if you dishonor them, you're going to dishonor every other authority, and things are not going to go well with you. Every person I know in my life, and I don't know everybody, obviously, but I have never met one single person who lives in constant dishonor and disrespect of their parents who are doing well. Not one. But I know a lot of people who do honor their parents who are doing well, just like the scripture says.
Pastors Dwayne and Cindy would like to thank you for joining us today. We trust that your life has been enriched by the Word of God. We want to encourage you to get plugged into a life-giving church in your area. If you'd like to contact us, you may do so at area code 337-582-2090. If you'd like to write to us or send financial support for this program, you may send it to 350 Highway 165, Iway, Louisiana, 70647. You may also email us at cotp@centurytel.net. Church of the Promise is located approximately 10 miles east of Lake Charles and 1/2 mile south of I-10 at exit 44. Our service times are 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings. Until next time, remember, you are loved and your life is worth living.